The First Testament lesson this morning is found in Genesis chapter 21, verses 8 through 21. And you can, I believe it's page 17 in the Pew Bible, which I picked up earlier. The child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, playing with her son Isaac. So she said to Abraham, "Cast out this slave woman with her son, for the son of this slave woman shall not inherit along with my son Isaac." The matter was very distressing to Abraham on account of his son. But God said to Abraham, "Do not be distressed because of the boy, because of your slave woman. Whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you, for it is through Isaac that the offspring shall be named for you. As for the son of the slave woman, I will make a nation of him also, because he is your offspring." So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder along with the child, and sent her away. She departed and wandered about in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she cast the child under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down opposite him a good way off, about the distance of a bow shot, for she said, "Do not let me look on the death of the child." And as she sat opposite him, she lifted her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the boy, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What troubles you, Hagar? Do not be afraid of God. Do not be afraid, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Come, lift up the boy, hold him fast with your hand, for I will make a great nation of him." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. She went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy, and he grew up. He lived in the wilderness and became an expert with the bow. He lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother got a wife for him from the land of Egypt. Thanks be to God.
Our New Testament text is the opening words of Paul's, what we call Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. But this will become important in a bit, that this is not actually the second letter. That if you read this letter carefully, what you understand is that there were several letters between the first and this one, and they were not nice letters. And so the other thing about this morning's reading is that if you're reading out of the Pew Bibles, you'll see the word consoles, consolation is there again and again and again. And I am changing that this morning. I am changing it to comfort. Because I believe, as you'll see, that I think that's a better translation of, and other translations have the word comfort here. So let us listen to the word of the Lord. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and from Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is in Corinth, including all the saints throughout Achaia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies and the God of comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are abundant for us, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. If we're being afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are being comforted, it is for your comforting. which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we also suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. The word of the Lord. I want to begin this morning with a short quote from an article that I read this week, and this piece comes from a woman named Anton Desclafini. She is a professor of creative writing at Auburn University in Alabama, and she is reflecting on sort of the current state of our society and culture. I find myself astonished these days by my fellow humans' meanness, their outrageous spitefulness, as if COVID has invaded not only our lungs, but also our psyches, the parts of our brains that ask us to care about not only the people we don't know, but also the people we do know. Now, if you wonder what she's talking about, I'm just going to give you three quick examples this morning from the recent news. The first has to do with a Southwest Airlines flight. Any of you ever flown Southwest? Okay, if you haven't, you know that Southwest is a first-come, first-served, right? You're at the front of the line, you choose your seats, and other people choose them around you. Well, a couple of weeks ago, two women got on the flight, and there were other people sitting in the seats that they wanted. And so they told the people in those seats that they needed to get up and get out of those seats because they wanted them. Now, when the people in those seats refused, the women began to scream and curse at them. And then when that didn't work, the women tried grabbing them and pulling them out of the seats. Okay. So that's the first one. Second one happened this past week at a school board meeting. They were arguing over whether to mask or not mask, right? Well, after the meeting was over, one of the parents, who was a pro-mask person, went out to get in his car and get ready to leave. And before he could start up his car, people from the anti-mask side were slamming their hands on his windshield and on the window next to him, and they're screaming at him, "We know who you are, we know where you live, and you will never work in this town again." Okay, the last one was yesterday, and that was in Los Angeles at the City Hall. You had, again, masks. Isn't it amazing what we do with these things, these masks? These two groups are each, one is protesting for masking ordinances, the other is protesting against masking ordinances, and it deteriorates into a fist fight in which one person is ultimately stabbed. And we don't know which side did what or started it. So what's going on? I mean, seriously, I think she's got it right. Where is all of this coming from? And I would, I would argue where it's coming from is a sense of powerlessness. Because when people feel powerless, any of you ever feel powerless these days against all sorts of things, right? That one of the most common responses to powerlessness is anger. Anger. Because what anger does is anger brings forth higher levels of what's called cortisol. And cortisol is this hormone that sets up our fight or flight. And what it does is it ramps up this sense of power, that when cortisol gets going, you feel like you can take on the world. You are angry and you are righteous and you are the top dog. And so what happens is then you're powerless, and suddenly with anger, you feel like you've taken control again. Yeah, but that's not really it. anger ultimately solves nothing. Because anger not only diminishes the one that you're angry with, anger destroys the one who's angry from the inside out. Because cortisol, if you have too much of it in your body, it will ultimately do very bad things to you. I mean, it's good in the right levels, but you get too much of it going and it will do bad things to you. And besides, anger tears down, it doesn't build up, anger destroys, it doesn't create. And so the question is, for those of us who are Jesus followers, those of us who believe Jesus when he says, don't be angry with someone because it's the equivalent of murder, because when we're angry with someone, it's like we're killing them. Don't be angry with someone. If we believe that, then what's our alternative when we're feeling powerless? Well, I would argue that one alternative, and there are many, but one alternative is comfort. Now, I know that sounds strange, because when we say the word comfort, what we normally mean is a roaring fire, a soft blanket, a barca lounger. You know, we lounge back. Oh, we're comfortable. That's not comfort, the way I'm using it. I want to use comfort in the biblical sense. That this word comfort that this translation has is consolation, and others have is comfort, and I translate it as comfort. Comfort here is a multifaceted word. It's a word that carries multiple ideas and concepts within it. And this is always the struggle with translators, is how do you take a multifaceted word and find an English word that meets it? But what the word comfort has within it is it has the idea of encouragement, exhortation, strengthening. And in the end, the idea of comfort is that it paints somehow a more positive vision for the future. And so all of that is contained within this idea of comfort. Now, the last thing about comfort, real quickly, before we jump into it a little further, is that comfort biblically has both vertical and horizontal aspects to it. Vertical and horizontal aspects. And so to really understand comfort better, what we're going to do is we're going to jump into both of our stories this morning and see how those vertical and horizontal axes of comfort work. So we start with our Old Testament text, this story of Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Hagar, and Ishmael. You kind of need a scorecard to keep all the players in mind. But let's sort of take the bigger picture here. And for those of you here last week, we read the story just before this. And that story was about Abraham and Sarah. And Abraham and Sarah had been called by God to become a family through whom God was going to bless all of creation, bless everyone in the world. And God promised them land, offspring, and blessing. Well, they sort of had number one and number three, but number two hadn't happened. They hadn't had any children. And so what Sarah does is Sarah knows that they're supposed to have children. So she decides that she is going to take her slave girl, her servant, Hagar, and give her to Abraham as a wife. So she does that. And Abraham and Hagar do what married couples do, and soon Hagar is pregnant. Now, this, even though Sarah did this, she is not happy about this. And so she mistreats Hagar, and Hagar starts to run away and goes into the desert. And God comes to her and says, don't run away. Hang in there. Things will work out. So Hagar comes back. gives birth to Ishmael. Okay. But then, as we read last week, Sarah becomes pregnant with Abraham's child and gives birth to Isaac. And when she finally weans Isaac, as our story says, Sarah looks out and there's Isaac and Ishmael playing, having a great time together. And it dawns on her what that means. Maybe Abraham is going to give the inheritance to Ishmael. And she is not happy about that. So she goes to Abraham and says, you need to get rid of them. You need to cast them off. Send them away. And Abraham doesn't want to do this because Ishmael's his child. But then God comes to Abraham and gives him a good piece of advice, says, do what your wife asks you to do and send them off. So Abraham gives Hagar a loaf of bread, a skin of water, and sends she and Ishmael into the desert. Well, you can imagine a loaf of bread and a skin of water doesn't last long. They're in the desert. They're hungry. They're thirsty. And she's angry. And she casts Ishmael under a tree. And she walks a bow shot away. And you can hear the anger and the powerlessness of her cry, do not let me see the death of this child. And it's in that moment, that the comfort of God comes. And the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what troubles you, Hagar? Don't be afraid. Encouragement. For God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. This is strengthening her. Come, lift up the boy and hold him fast with your hand. Exhortation, here's what you should do. And I will make a great nation of him. Reassurance. Then God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. She went and filled the skin of water and gave the boy a drink. This was a more positive vision of the future. Her powerlessness had been overcome by God's comfort. This is vertical comfort. This is where the comfort of God comes down into our lives and gives us what we need to take the next step and the next step and the one after that so we don't feel powerless. Now, the horizontal plane. Paul's letter, this letter that we have to the church at Corinth, what we don't have is all the mean, nasty letters going back and forth between them. Because the church in Corinth had rejected Paul. They had rejected him as a leader. They had said horrible and terrible things about him. And what that did was it caused the church at Corinth to begin coming apart. They were feeling powerless. They didn't know how to keep the church together. They didn't know how to heal this relationship with Paul. They were beginning to be persecuted by Romans. They were losing their jobs, their families, and just there was this overwhelming sense of powerlessness and helplessness. And so in the midst of that, Paul writes this letter, and he reminds them first of the verticalness of comfort. Listen again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions. He says, remember in what God has done in Jesus Christ, this comfort of God has come down to all of you, to all of you. But he doesn't stop there. Let me read it again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us, vertical, in all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Comfort is not something we've been given by God so that we can just hold on to it. Comfort that we've been given, this encouragement, this strengthening, is comfort that we are to give away. This is the horizontal aspect of it. We are to give it away. When we see people who are feeling powerless, hopeless, we are to bring to them the comfort that we have already received in Jesus Christ. And one of the fascinating things about this word, the Greek word, comfort, consolation, encouragement, however you want to translate it, it is also the root word for church. It's also the root word for church. Church, comfort. Church, compassion. Church, consolation. And so what that means is that what we're called to be, is literally called to be, is a community of comfort. Not the comfort of all, but a community of comfort, where we receive comfort and then we give it away. We spread it out. We share it. This past week, I did a memorial service for a man named Jim Brophy. Many of you may know his wife, Margaret Brophy, better than Jim. But when I was meeting with the family and saying, you know, tell me about Jim. One of the daughters, as she was speaking about him, said, well, you know, the last time we had a good conversation over Skype, she lives in Chicago, he was here. She said he ended the conversation the same way he always did with us, the two daughters. And here's how he ended it. I love you. I'm proud of you. And you are beautiful. I love you. I'm proud of you. You are beautiful. Do you hear the comfort in that? Encouraging, strengthening, exhorting, saying there's a better future, there's a positive future for you out there. Well, what I want us to do this morning is I want us to take those words and I want us to sort of shape them a little differently. And I'm going to invite you to say this with me. I'm going to reshape these words and I'm inviting you to say it with me. God loves me. God is proud of me. I am a beautiful child of God. That is the comfort that comes from God. It is this acknowledgement, this strengthening, this encouraging, this exhortation that comes through the love and grace of God in Jesus Christ. But I don't want you just to say that to yourself. Here's what I want you to do with it this week. When you find someone else who is feeling helpless and angry, you turn those words and you remind them, God loves you. God is proud of you. You are a beautiful child of God. And in those words, offer them comfort and hope and a vision that's better. So that's my challenge for you for this week, is to practice receiving that vertical comfort from God and then to go out and give it away. Give it away. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks that you are the one of all comfort who pours your comfort out in our lives, in your love, in your grace, in reminding us of our worth and value. Help us to be your agents of comfort as we do the same. In Christ's name, Amen.